I am currently a sophomore at UW-Whitewater, smaller campus, smaller class sizes, and overall just a great community. It is extremely different from when I was in high school. I've met so many more people from so many walks of life. I've definitely become more involved on campus. The community I have built up around me is my favorite part. I am part of a club called Crew and a club called InterVarsity. Both of them are Christian-based communities, and we have game nights, we have girl nights where we sit down, drink tea, do face masks, or we get together, we'll go to a sports game. Really, just we love being around each other. The people in the club really help me stay grounded in my faith. They'll shoot me a text in the morning, hey, how's it going? I'm praying for you, you know, have you read your Bible yet? We really are able to keep each other accountable, and it's just like a judgment-free community where we can come together and just like worship God and just love on each other. I am currently an elementary education major. I started off being a teacher's assistant here with the kids' church area in my sixth grade year, and then I've helped out with the kids ever since, every Sunday pretty much, and then just working with the kids, I've developed a love for working with them. I'm honestly just excited to see where God leads me, especially with my career. I love working with kids, and I'm excited to see what school He's going to place me in or what grade He's going to have me teach, so I'm really excited for that. If you're in a season where you find yourself full of different opportunities, keep in mind not to overwhelm yourself with those opportunities. Definitely pray and press into God and seek Him and make sure that you are listening to Him, because ultimately, in the end, He's going to lead you down the best path that's going to be the best for you.
Genesis 8:22 says, as long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease. We've been reminding ourselves over the last few weeks, just as God has created seasons of weather, He's created seasons of life. And these seasons are relational, they're physical, they're spiritual, and they're emotional. Ecclesiastes 3:1 says, there is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. So we've been asking, what season am I in right now, and how can I thrive in this season? Maybe you're the parents of young children, and I can relate. There can be screaming and crying going on in the next room, and it's just like white noise. You can just sleep right through it. I find myself also smelling stains these days. It's kind of odd, but I wonder, is that apple juice? No. So maybe between the diapers and the tantrums or the lack of sleep, you just wish you could get through this season. Maybe you're in the last quarter of your life and you're wishing you could go back to your youth. Maybe you're a teenager and you just can't wait to get out of the house. Maybe you're in a season of suffering and you would do anything to get beyond the pain. We're all tempted to see our current season as something to escape and to make an idol over what the next season could be. We're all tempted to live out of season. But here's the truth we all need to embrace. God has us where we are for a reason. There is a reason for the season, and in every season, God promises us His power and His presence. And because of that, I've come to the conclusion a long time ago, I'm going to enjoy my life. And I hope you come to that decision as well. This season of your life has been entrusted to you for a reason. And you can steward this season faithfully by going through it, growing through it, and glorifying God. Embrace your season. Today we're going to talk about summer. And how many of you would say, summer, that is my favorite season? My hand is raised. The book of Revelation describes the kingdom of God and its fullness. This is a good place for us to begin to understand summer. It's Revelation 22, verse 2. It says, on each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit in every season. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. Did you catch it? What this passage is describing? Endless summer. The sign of summer's endlessness is this amazing tree. It's called the tree of life. And scripture tells us that each month there is a new crop of fruit. And so in God's kingdom, the cycle of seasons, they end, but there will no longer be winter. Each month just simply flows into the next of fruit-bearing sunshine and warmth. And so summer is a foretaste of heaven. It's a rehearsal of paradise, a preview of the promised land. But Jesus, he also equates summer with the kingdom of God. Luke 21, 29. Jesus told them this parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. When they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is near. And even so, when you see these things happening, you know that the kingdom of God is near. And so Jesus says, when you see the leaves, you know that summer is near. And so I want you to think about the connection that Jesus makes between summer and the kingdom of God. What are some things that we associate with summer? Well, there's fruit, there's warmth, there's sunshine, there's rest, there's lots of activities, there are festivals, there are reunions. Jesus implies that all of these are kingdom experiences. Jesus told many parables to help us understand the kingdom of God. He said the kingdom of heaven is like a banquet. It's like a homecoming. It's a joyful reunion, a festival. Hebrews tells us that the kingdom is a true Sabbath, a sustained and a restoring rest, a full and final reprieve from all of life's hardships and loss. When we experience summertime, we feel fully alive. Our relationships, they are healthy. We are at rest. We're having fun. We're enjoying our life. We see fruitfulness. There's so much light. The days are long. We find delight in being with God and delight in enjoying all he has made for us. Much of this is really the complete opposite of winter. In winter, at times, God can seem like an enemy. Friends become strangers. Darkness always seems close by. But summer flips all of that around. God and our friends, they seem intimately near. Light and life, they surround us. Morning is just a passing memory. And so summer is a taste of the kingdom. It's a preview of heaven where God is fully present and he's always shining his light and there's fresh fruit in every season. There's always a reunion and there is always ample rest. So how do you know this morning if you are in summer? Simply put, things in your life, they are just flowing. Maybe your life is marked by effortlessness. The fruit comes easily. You would say, you know what, there's fruit in my life. I'm a fruity Christian. Most seasons, they require something from us. They demand some sacrifice, some hard work, some adjustments. But summer just wants to give and give and give, and all we need to do is just to surrender to it and bask in it, take it all in. In summer, when we open up the Bible, it seems like God's word comes alive. In the summertime of our hearts, we experience God's lavish kindness and generosity. Every other day, he's surprising us with some unexpected blessing. There is not much not to like about summer. And summer gives us a preview of heaven. So summer is so amazing. It raises the question, how does that come into our lives? For many of us, we experience summer after we gave our lives to Christ. Many of us, you know, we walked into a church that was fully alive and we sensed that God was there. Or maybe it was a friend or a family member, they were fully alive. We got a chance to see through them what life could be like. And we thought, why should I miss out on this? And so we surrendered our lives to Christ, and immediately we enter summer. And everything is right, and everything is bright. Everything seems to be working better. The old is gone, the new has come. In this season, God is near, and God is good. Conversations that we have with believers or non-believers, they seem to all circle back to God. Our friends, our neighbors, they begin to notice changes in us, and they become curious. And so God is everywhere. All is light, all is bright. It is summer. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Good, I've got a dozen of you. But we also know that summer doesn't last forever. And it's typically with the first disappointment we experience as a Christian, where things begin to turn cool and dark, doubt begins to chill us, spiritual abundance leads to barrenness. Around here, summer never seems to last. It's just a preview of the summer that will be unending in the kingdom of God. So let's talk for a moment. What is summertime for? Philippians 3:20 says, "But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ." The Bible tells us that you and I are already citizens of heaven. That is our true identity. We don't become citizens of heaven once we die. We become citizens of heaven the moment we give our lives to Christ. And so right now, we're learning to live as citizens of the kingdom of heaven, even though we're not home yet. And life in that kingdom is a lot like summer living, and it has three characteristics. It is not hurried. It is not worried. And there's lots of fruit. First of all, kingdom living is not hurried. It simply enjoys the abundance of God. A.W. Tozer, he described this type of living. He says, "Those who are in Christ share with God all of the riches of limitless time and endless years." God never hurries. There are no deadlines at which he must work against. Only to know this is to quiet our spirits and relax our nerves. Kingdom living, summer living, is not hurried. Psalm 46:10, "Be still and know that I am God." It is often in the stillness that we discover that God is big and God is good. In our busyness, we often will miss out on God. Life becomes about all what we are doing for God. Busyness can dim God's voice and blind us to his presence. But stillness can reawaken our wonder and allow us to become present with God, to hear his voice once again. We see this played out in the story of the two sisters, Mary and Martha, Luke 10:38. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he had said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." You see, Martha's problem is not her commitment to hard work. Hard work is good, a good meal, a clean house. These are great things. Her problem is in her busyness, her drivenness has made her blind and deaf. Let Jesus is right there in the next room. He's right in front of her. And so be still and know that he is God. A few weeks ago, there was a visitor here at church, and they were from Southern California, and it was snowing that night. And he said, "Oh, I would just love to live in a place like Wisconsin, just where the winter forces you to rest. It's so restful." You have an entire season just to slow down. I just smiled and nodded. Because you and I, we all know the truth, right? Even though winter forces us indoors, there's enforced hibernating, winter isn't restful. Winter is hard work. It's tedious. Your commute takes twice as long. It's summer. It's summer that is active and restful at the same time. We feel deeply alive and yet deeply relaxed. It's a summer where we are at ease and we are thankful. Philippians 4:6 says, "Do not be anxious about anything." See, life in summer is not worried. This is a spiritual discipline that we need the most in seasons of darkness and separation. That peace that we so desperately need in the winter and is tested in that season is developed in the summer. It's in the summer where we have the peace of God and the presence of God so vivid that worry doesn't stand a chance. And so when that season of summer enters your life, when it reaches your heart and your soul, learn to be still. Soak it all in. Soak in his goodness. Soak in his presence. Ecclesiastes 12:1 says, "Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Before the days of trouble come and the years approach when you will say, 'I find no pleasure in them.'" Remember the times of summer when you've experienced God, because you'll need that faith and confidence to get through the more difficult seasons. And so summer is a time of rest. It's a time of amazing energy. You may as well try something new. You feel alive. You feel younger than you look. In summer, we learn all about kingdom life. It is not hurried. It is not worried. Winter is when we walk by faith and not by sight. God is good all the time, but in winter, we hold that conviction by faith. It's not something that we experience. In winter, we tell ourselves and others that God is good all the time, regardless of how we feel. But in summer, God is obviously good. It's our testimony. Summer is when we walk by light and we can see that. God is good and he's near and he's for me. And it's not that we take any of it for granted. We just soak it in. And so this is what I want for you, that you would experience the summer, God's favor, goodness in your life, and that you would enjoy it without guilt or without apology. That you would have a season of summer in your life. For some strange reason, a lot of us, we feel guilty if things are going good or if we feel good. This is very odd considering the words of Jesus, John 15:9. He says, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete." Why should we feel guilty about experiencing God's goodness when he says, "I want to fill you with joy. I want my joy to be complete in you"? And perhaps we should remember Jesus' very first miracle, where he turns the water into wine for no other reason than the party would just go on. So much of our theology we get from the Apostle Paul, and listen to how he instructs us. Philippians 4:4, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice." As a follower of Christ, joy is in your DNA. It is a sign that Jesus is present, and joy is what heaven will be all about. It's interesting that Jesus would not allow his disciples to fast while they were with him. Matthew 9:14, "Then John's disciples came and asked, 'How is it that we and the Pharisees fast often, but your disciples do not fast. Jesus answered, how can the guests of the bridegroom mourn while he is with them? The time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them. Then they will fast. So Jesus says, it makes no more sense for you to fast around me than to go to a lavish wedding and say, I'm not eating, when they've gone through all the work of preparing for you. Jesus says that would be bad manners, not to mention poor timing. It'd be like taking your winter vacation to the Bahamas and only packing dress pants and sweaters. And so you need to enjoy the seasons of God's goodness and favor without guilt or apology. But remember, it's just a preview of the coming kingdom. Lastly, kingdom life, like summer living, is all about fruit. There's an abundance of God's provision. Ephesians 3:20 says, God is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine. You and I, we go through extended seasons of life where we accept this based on faith, but in summer, this is a reality, and the evidence is everywhere. In summer, most gardens and fruit trees, they produce way more fruit than you can consume on your own. Growing up, my parents would always have rhubarb plants in the backyard, and I would mow the lawn, and I don't like rhubarb. And so when I was on the lawn tractor, I'd always cut the corner a little too tight. Oops, no more rhubarb. In summer, God gives us way more insights of the scripture than I can possibly share with others. Every interaction, every conversation seems to be spirit-led. In the summer, we celebrate God's abundance of fruit. You know, this is in direct contrast to our culture that pushes us to want more and more and more, and that nothing is ever enough. That we crave so many things, but none of them satisfies. And that is what an unchecked appetite does. It creates hunger, but it diminishes satisfaction, so that we're always wanting and never happy. We're addicted to pleasure, but we are never pleased. We chase what we lack rather than enjoy what we have. But kingdom living could not be more different. We delight in the abundance that we already have rather than looking for more. The kingdom living is not about what we need in addition, but the ampleness of what we already have. And one of the signs that you're living in this, that you're in summer, is that you begin to share your abundance and you give it away. I think of the little boy who had his lunch, his 5 loaves and 2 fish, and that was more than enough if he just cared about himself. But in sharing his abundance with Jesus, Jesus then shares it with everyone, and it becomes abundance for all. Living in that kingdom mode is when we stop craving and we enjoy giving and thanksgiving. And so this is an incredible season of life, but I want to give you just 2 things to watch out for if you're in summer today. The first danger that I can think of summertime is of dehydration and of not getting enough water. You know, every summer in Wisconsin starts off so lush and so green, it's gorgeous. Your lawn is growing so fast, you have to mow more than once a week. But as summer races on towards the 4th of July, slowly but surely, you begin to see that lush green lawn. It begins to kind of start browning up or thinning out. The lawn wasn't as green as it used to be, and we're no longer having difficulty keeping up. And if rain holds off for another week or so, that whole lawn could turn brown except for a few weeds. Each summer, my wife, she'll plant hanging baskets around the house. And if I skip just one day of watering, she'll ask me, did you water the plants today? Because she can tell. Those plants are now wilting. And so living things require lots of water. And without lots of water, they will dry up quickly. And Scripture tells us that you and I, we hold the glory of God in clay jars. We hold it, but we leak, and we dry out very quickly. And so you and I, we need a constant inpouring of the Holy Spirit and a deep saturation of the Word and prayer. Jesus tells us a parable to hit this point home, Matthew 13:3. He says, "A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root." It says the sun came up, the plants were scorched. The summertime of your life and of your soul is a great time to enjoy your life and to rest and to be active. But the one thing you cannot neglect is a life that is in the Word and is in prayer. There is never, ever a season of life that you can go through where you can neglect the Word and neglect prayer without that neglect hurting us. See, I've gotten sick due to dehydration physically. It happened on my honeymoon in Mexico. I become spiritually dehydrated as well. So during my junior year of college, it was a season of God's goodness, favor in my life. Things were so good that I eventually came to the conclusion that I no longer needed to read my Bible. And after consulting with a trusted Christian friend, he agreed with me. You know, after all, this is a relationship with Jesus. This is not religion. This is not about a list of things that we do or do not do. So I said, well, I don't feel like reading my Bible. I'm not going to read my Bible. 1 week went by. 2 weeks went by. Still don't feel like reading it. 3 weeks went by. I still don't feel like reading it. And then I was still experiencing the goodness of God, but I didn't realize that reservoir of His goodness in my life, the river feeding it, had drained down to a trickle. You see, the blessings of God are both a gift and a curse. When everything is going so well in our lives, we can forget to drink. And so in summertime, I just want to encourage you, you need to drink up. You don't just drink when you're thirsty. You drink more than you think you need. My sister-in-law is a doctor, so whenever we get sick, we give her a call. And usually it's the same answer every time. You got to drink water. You got a cold, drink water. You've got a headache, drink water. It's like for some of you, you grew up in households where the answer was always Vaseline or Windex. It is recommended that you drink at least half your body weight in ounces of water per day. So drink up. Never skip a day where you don't drink up. Build it into your schedule. This is my place. This is my time where I meet with God and I allow Him to fill me up in His Word and in prayer. There's another risk that comes in the summertime. And it's the temptation that we look towards the past instead of looking towards the future. And this is nostalgia. I want you to think of a summertime that stands out in your memory that it was one of the greatest summers of your life. For me, personally, it was the summer of 2009. I had just gotten engaged to Joni, and we had all that excitement of planning our wedding. We bought a house that we would love and we still love. We were planning our honeymoon. I was able to run 4 to 5 miles each morning, and I felt energetic and healthy. It was a really great summer. And so as the years have gone on, I look back at that summer, and that was the summer. That was my golden summer. No struggles, just excitement, just optimism. And so I'll go back to that same running trail often, but now I'm doing maybe a mile or two, and I can feel it a little bit more in the joints, And just secretly, I kind of wish that I could turn the clock back to being 29. Is anyone 29 here today? Wow, okay. It's a great age. Enjoy it. And so if I'm not careful, and if you're not careful, we will begin to think with summertime that the best was in the past, instead of believing that the best is yet to come. And is it possible that nostalgia is really misplaced anticipation? You see, Solomon, he said, there's a season for everything, but he also says God has placed eternity in the human heart. You see, God has put an instinct of heaven into all of us, and to varying degrees, we all wish to be somewhere else. We wish to be someone else. We wish to be doing something else. Most of us, when we feel that instinct, we will misinterpret that longing. Ecclesiastes 3:11. He has also set eternity in the human heart, yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. And so we fail lifelong to understand that source of restlessness, that sense that we are not in the right place at the right time. And so to misdiagnose our discontent, we look to the past. Other times, we look to divorce or to move or to quit, or to quit church, or to blame our boss or our spouse, or we just blame Wisconsin in general. And God is really the source of your restlessness. God has set eternity in the human heart. And so when we're experiencing summer, it's just a small glimpse of what awaits us in heaven. We look forward to that place where it will be endless summer. But until then, there are seasons. And we'll try to cling on to summer's fleeting beauty, and we will resent its fading. Summer will become a heavy burden for us to carry. Instead of looking forward to heaven, we'll look back in life and beware of the temptation to look to the past of summer. I want us to conclude this morning by looking at Luke 21, where Jesus, he compares the coming of the kingdom to the coming of summer. Listen carefully to the clues that he gives and to perhaps why so few of us experience not this true season of summer, this real thing. Luke 21:20. When you see Jerusalem being surrounded by armies, you will know that desolation is near. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let those in the city get out, and let those in the country not enter the city. For this is the time of punishment in fulfillment of all that has been written. How dreadful it will be in those days for pregnant women and nursing mothers. There will be great distress in the land and wrath against this people. They will fall by the sword and will be taken as prisoners to all the nations. Jerusalem will be trampled on by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. There will be signs in the sun, the moon, the stars. On the earth, nation will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring and tossing of the sea. People will faint from terror, apprehensive of what is coming on the world, for the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. When these things begin to take place, stand up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. He told them this parable. Look at the fig tree and all the leaves. When they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happening, you will know that the kingdom of God is near. You see, when you see these signs, you know the kingdom is breaking in. And he says those signs are wars and revolutions, nation rising against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes and famine and pestilence, disturbances in the heavens and persecution. He says, when you see all these things, you know the kingdom is at hand. It is summer. And Jesus, he's speaking of the end times and of the apocalypse, the end of the world. Life will come as we know it to an end, and new life will burst forth. But the life that we long for, that kingdom of God, it does not come without a storm. That's true on a cosmic scale, and that is true in every one of our lives. God's rule and reign in our hearts and our lives are always preceded by upheaval. Before beauty, there's ugliness. Before peace, there's often war. Before order, chaos. But then God's kingdom breaks in, and whether it's in the heavens or it's in one person's life, it arrives by way of disruption. And the status quo must give way to the rule and reign of God. And you and I, we often try to avoid this. And so why do so many of us, we never experience that fullness of God's kingdom, the fullness of summertime in our hearts? Because the path between here and there is messy and costly and dangerous and hard. What God needs to do in the world for the kingdom to break through is not pretty. And what God needs to do in our hearts for the kingdom to break through is not pretty either. And so we can run, and we can hide, and we can delay. We can return to what is familiar and safe, even if it takes us in a direction that is not good and holy. And so I just want to ask the question, is God doing some disruptive and messy things in your life right now? Maybe you don't even know to call it a season. It just feels like a storm. And maybe you're doing everything possible to avoid it. Maybe it would be best to ask God today for the strength to endure it. Verse 28, when these things begin to take place, stand up, lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. And summer is on the other side of the storm. Stand up and lift up your head. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are establishing your kingdom. Lord, we thank you that you invite us to be a part of it. Lord, you are establishing your kingdom here on earth, and you're longing to establish that kingdom in each of our lives. And so, Lord, I pray if there is anyone here today that is struggling with a storm, and Lord, they have been wrestling with the disruption, what you're doing in their lives, God, that they would just embrace it, that they would surrender. We would all surrender to the rule and reign of Christ. Lord, I want to pray for those who have experienced a season of summer, and yet that season is being short-lived, Lord, because we are running out of water, we are dehydrated. Lord, we begin to experience your blessings, your goodness. We begin to see peace being established in our homes, and slowly but surely we forget to water. Lord, we forget to take those times every single day where we need to get into your word, where we need to seek your face. I believe that speaks to many of us today, and if that's you, just say, you know what? It's going to change this week. I'm going to water every single day. I'm going to receive from God. Sunday is great, but Sunday is not enough. And I don't want to cut short the work that God is doing. Summer is a season where I ought to be growing by leaps and bounds. And so right now, Lord, we just soak in the rain of your Spirit. But Lord, help us to carve out those times each and every day. And Lord, I pray for those of us we've experienced a season of summer. And Lord, instead of causing us to look forward to heaven with anticipation, Lord, it has caused us to look in the rearview mirror and to wish that we could rewind. Father, help us to set our eyes forward. Let your goodness, your kindness, when you bring summer into our lives, it's just a small taste of what lies ahead for the child of God. And truly the best is yet to come. We pray these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Would you please stand with us as our worship team leads us? Thank you.